This is lecture number 2, New Testament Greek for Beginners. Continuing the subject of diphthongs, we need to examine each of these diphthongs so you can see how they are put together. In the paragraph 3, you noticed short vowels and long vowels, and I mentioned that alpha, epsilon, and omicron are short, with the exception of alpha, which can be long or short. We noted also that there are open vowels and closed vowels. I believe I said that. Alpha, epsilon, and omicron can be, they are open vowels, as well as are alpha, eta, and omega. They are open vowels. The iota and upsilon are closed vowels. Close. Now, looking back at your diphthongs on the next page, notice the alpha and iota. Notice the epsilon iota and the omicron iota. Now, back in paragraph 3, you notice alpha, epsilon, and omicron, short vowels, and underneath of that is the iota. The alpha, the epsilon, and the omicron are open vowels. They, as it were, open the diphthong. They are the first vowel. These letters are the first vowels of a diphthong. They open it. But notice the iota is a closed vowel, and it closes the diphthong. Alpha, open. Iota, close. Epsilon, open. Iota, close. Omicron, open. Iota, close. Then you notice the vowels end, the next diphthongs end with the upsilon. Alpha, going back to the top, the short vowels. Alpha, the open vowel, and then upsilon, the closed vowel. Epsilon, the open vowel, and upsilon, the closed vowel. Omicron, the open vowel, and upsilon, the closed vowel. These are short vowels. In this column, alpha, epsilon, omicron, iota, and upsilon are short vowels. And in the cases you see here, the I, A, OI, AL, U, U, and U, and we are short vowels making diphthongs. And that's what we're concerned about here in these diphthongs. These are short vowels, the first vowel an open vowel, and the second vowel a closed vowel. So what you need to memorize is the first column, alpha as a short vowel, epsilon is a short vowel, omicron is a short vowel, iota is a short vowel, and upsilon is a short vowel. There are some other diphthongs. We call them improper diphthongs. And these diphthongs are with long vowels. The eta, upsilon, pronounced U. It's, some folks want to call this AU, but we'll just say U. You don't find these diphthongs very often, I assure you this. Then the omega upsilon, AU. They are very difficult to pronounce, I think, at least. As this sentence says, these diphthongs are rare. Then there are some diphthongs that have the iota, which is your closed vowel, written under the open vowel. And you notice he says when the iota unites with a long alpha, not a short alpha, but a long alpha, the iota goes underneath of it. And the eta, when the eta unites with an iota for a diphthong, the iota goes under. The same with an omega. If this is to form a diphthong with the iota, then the iota goes underneath of the omega. Thus, he says, in that second, in that line there, it's called an iota subscript. Sub meaning under, script to write, iota written under. The iota subscript has no effect whatever on the pronunciation. The alpha with an iota subscript is still an ah, as if the iota were not there. The eta with an iota under it is pronounced a, as if the iota were not there. The omega with an iota subscript is pronounced o, as if the iota were not underneath of it there. So these are long vowels. Alpha, long. Eta is long. Omega is long. And these iota subscripts are under there. The vowel or diphthong at the beginning of a word. This is paragraph 5. The vowel or diphthong at the beginning of a word has a breathing mark. A breathing mark. Let's see. Okay, down in the next paragraph, it says the rough breathing mark. Notice the little mark there in the parentheses. It curves to the right. It looks like an apostrophe, but it curves to the right as you're writing it. It's just a sort of a half moon. A circle there. And you see some of those in your syllabus, by the way. You can look at them in the syllabus and see how they are written with a rough breathing mark. Sometimes the vowels do not have the rough breathing mark. They have a smooth breathing mark. Now, a rough breathing mark means it's pronounced as if there were an H sound. A how, if you put a rough breathing mark over alpha upsilon, it would be pronounced al. And if you put a smooth breathing mark over alpha upsilon, it would be al. How and al. The breathing mark, by the way, goes over the second letter of diphthongs. You must memorize all of these diphthongs so that you will recognize them very quickly. And I should note this right now. If you have an iota alpha, that is not a diphthong. If you have an iota epsilon, that is not a diphthong. An iota omicron is not a diphthong. And upsilon alpha is not a diphthong. Upsilon epsilon is not a diphthong. Upsilon omicron is not a diphthong. And iota upsilon is not a diphthong. So memorize the diphthongs here in paragraph 4 and be able to recognize them and follow the explanation that I have just gotten through giving. Paragraph 6 deals with three accent marks. The acute accent, the circumflex accent, and the grave accent. Now, when you're first learning Greek, the teacher will say, as I'm going to say, all Greek words have accent marks. And for the time being, that will be true. But later on, a few lessons, we will find words that do not have accents. For the time being, you are to assume that each word has an accent on it, and you will be learning how to put those accents on these words. I want to call your attention to the fact that if a word has a breathing mark and an accent on the same letter, on the same syllable, then you must note that the breathing mark comes before the accent, unless the accent is a circumflex, and that's a half moon turned upside down. And again, look for examples in your syllabus as we discuss these matters there. We're through the first lesson in Machen's book. You've already been assigned the task of memorizing the alphabet. The next thing you should memorize is the list there of long and short vowels and the open and close vowels, and these have to do with the memorizing of these various diphthongs that we had there in paragraph 4. You must memorize each of these. Memorize the sight of the breathing marks and the accents there. And when you have accomplished this, we are going to be going on to the next lesson. You might want to turn off your tape recorder now and listen again to the lesson and look at the book and be sure that you have thoroughly memorized the various things that have been discussed to this point. So turn off the tape recorder or turn it back however you wish and then come back to this point and we will continue another lesson. The next lesson is going to be on dividing words into syllables. Now we are going to skip lesson 2 in Machen for just a few minutes until we get through this particular item, which is in your syllabus. I'm going to be going over the information in your syllabus because I found that students did not know how to divide words into syllables. And this is very important in order to learn the accenting of Greek words and why the words are accented in the ways that they are accented. So look at your syllabus, and I'm going to go over this very carefully. Please listen carefully. Please study hard. Turn the tape recorder off at any time and look at your syllabus and try to assimilate, try to get it in your mind what I have said. Now, a syllable is the smallest part of a word that can be pronounced. I mentioned to you a while ago that the vowels are really the part of the word that we pronounce. The other letters, the consonants, are helping sounds. So the smallest part of a word that you can pronounce is a syllable. Syl. We're going to take the word as you see it in your syllabus here. The word syllable is divided into syl and la and bull. Syl, la, bull. Syl is a syllable. You can pronounce that. La, the middle part, is a syllable. And bull, B-L-E, is a syllable. All words, whether in English, Greek, French, German, or whatever other language, can be divided into syllables. I suppose Chinese can. I'm not at all familiar with that language or the Oriental languages. They're not written in the same with the same alphabet and signs that we use, but I assume that they can be divided into syllables. In order to learn Greek accents, you must be able to divide Greek words into syllables. Now, I have underlined that, and then I ask you the question, can you divide the words in that sentence into syllables? Can you go back to the sentence before? In order to learn Greek accents, you must be able to divide Greek words into syllables. Now, there's only 5 words in that sentence that have more than one syllable. All words have at least one syllable, and of course, many of them have many more than that. Those 5 words that have more than one syllable are order, accents, able, divide, syllables. The rest of the words have only one syllable, and there's no division necessary there. Now let's transfer that into Greek words. I've written several Greek words here for you in your syllables. And I've asked the question, can you pronounce these words? Now, you might want to turn the tape off and see if you can. And then when you turn it back on, well, let's go ahead. I'm going to pronounce these 1, 2, 3, 4 words, Greek words. Me, nos. Remember, the epsilon iota is a diphthong. It's pronounced as an A. Me, nos. The next word, idon. Idon. I should say idon, because the accent is on the own. Idon. The next word, akousantes. Akousantes. The last word there is synagoge. Synagoge. The accent again is on the last syllable. Soon. Synagoge. Synagoge. Now, notice how I've divided the words into syllables below this. Mu, epsilon iota. Not mu, epsilon iota. It's mu and epsilon iota. That's a diphthong. Me. The next syllable is nu, alpha, sigma. Nos. I hope you're getting the pronunciation of these letters, particularly the vowels, but all of the letters, getting the pronunciation as I pronounce them and have divided them to help you pronounce and divide. Idon. The iota is a syllable by itself. And then delta, omega, nu. That's a syllable by itself. Idon. The next word, alpha, is a syllable by itself. Omicron, the kappa, omicron, upsilon. The kappa, omicron, upsilon. Omicron, upsilon. Then the son, sigma, alpha, nu. Sigma, alpha, nu. Then the tau, epsilon, sigma. A, ku, san, tes. A, ku, san, tes. The last word, su, sigma, upsilon, su. Na, nu, alpha. That's a syllable by itself. Gamma, omega, a syllable. And gamma, eta. Su, na, go, gay. I wonder if you can figure out what that word means, su, na, go, gay. If you were to put English letters over each of those Greek letters, you would have a sigma. The upsilon would transliterate into the letter Y. N, A, G, O, G, E. Synagogue. Synagoge. Synagogue. That's the Greek word for synagogue. Now, we're going to try to divide some words from Greek. Divide the Greek words into syllables. To divide a Greek word into a syllable, begin on the right end of the word. On the very end, not the beginning, but on the end of the word. Or you end the pronunciation. You don't begin at the first. And you start with, like we've chosen the word, menos. Menos. You start with the sigma and go backwards. You go toward the front of the word. The sigma is a consonant. A syllable can only be pronounced if there is a vowel present in that in that part of the word. You must have a vowel in order to pronounce a word. The vowels are alpha, epsilon, iota, upsilon, omicron, I missed, eta, omega, or one of the diphthongs. So, when possible, a syllable begins with a consonant. That's not always possible, and in the preceding section, we had the word acusantes. The alpha there on the front of the word does not begin with a consonant. It's by itself. But when possible, syllables begin with consonants. So in the word menas, you start with the sigma, go back to an alpha, and then you have another consonant, the nu. And that is the divider there, the nu. Now you can pronounce this nas, nas. And then you pick up your diphthong, epsilon iota, and the mu, and you have another syllable, me, nas. So nas is a syllable and me is a syllable. Another word, acusantes, is made up of four syllables, and I have begun at the end of the word, given you the last syllable is tes, then the syllable is son, the next syllable back, the third syllable back is ku, and the last syllable, the fourth syllable, is the a. There is no consonant to go with that vowel. Now, a syllable does not have to end with a consonant. A syllable does not have to end with a consonant. It should, when possible, begin with a consonant. But here is an example where it cannot. So, three of these syllables begin with consonants. Su, na, go, gay. Notice that has four syllables also, and every one of them begins with a consonant. Beginning at the end of the word, gay, you go back to the go, back to the na, and then back to the su. Each syllable begins with a consonant. In the word idone, it only has two syllables, the don and the I. The vowel at the beginning of the word can stand alone, and there are occasions where vowels in the middle of the word, they might stand alone also. But remember, to begin dividing a word into syllables, you must begin at the end of the word and go backwards. That's so that you can pick up the vowels and the consonants. You need that last syllable and the next syllable and the third syllable. That's what we're studying for now. We're heading to know the names of the syllables. The syllable at the end of the word is called the ultima. This is very important that you know these words. The ultima. The second syllable from the end is called the penult. 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 And the third syllable back from the end of the word is called the antepenult. And the word antepenult means before the penult. The three syllables from the end of the word and back are the three most important syllables in the word as far as putting accents in their places. Looking at the word sunagogay, the gay is the ultima, the go is the penult, and the na is the antepenult. That is the third syllable back. The ultima is the end syllable, the very end syllable, and the penult is the second syllable. Not all words have three syllables. Not all words have two syllables. All words have one syllable. And certainly not all words have four syllables. In the word acusantes, the tes is the ultima, the last syllable. The son is the penult. The ku is the antepenult. And the alpha on the front of the word doesn't have a name because that is the fourth syllable back. There are some syllables that begin with two consonants. This is certainly not on every word, but there are some syllables, some words that have two consonants that you do not divide. They are called inseparable consonants. Now, I've given you an example here. The word anthropos. Anthropos. And I divided that into syllables for you. And notice the alpha nu. And then you have the theta and rho. Theta and rho in this word are not divided. They are pronounced in this case. The syllable is pronounced throw. Throw. Just like you're going to throw a ball. And then pos. Anthropos. Pos is the ultima, the last syllable. The throw is the next syllable back, the penult. And the on is the third syllable, and it's called the antepenult. But you must not separate the theta and the rho in this, because they are pronounced together in this word. Another example of two inseparable consonants is in the word anableppo. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you the word anthropos. Do you know what that word means? We have a word anthropology. Anthropology or anthropology, the study of man, the word anthropos is the word for man in Greek. You'll be meeting this word. You might want to jot this word down. I didn't give you the name, the translations of the other words there, but let's go on now. Another example of two inseparable consonants is in the next word, anableppo. Anableppo. I will tell you this word means to receive your sight. Literally, it means to look up, but it has been translated to receive one's sight. I receive my sight. And notice, ah, first syllable, anableppo. And the P-O is the ultima, the P-O, yes, that's right, P-Omega. P-Omega is the ultima, and the beta, lambda, epsilon, the penult. And you do not separate the beta from the lambda. That's a bluh, bleh, in this case, a bleh. The penult is pronounced bleh. And then the na is the antepenult. And the ah, the alpha, has no name because the fourth syllable does not have a name. It can never have an accent. Okay? The letters beta and lambda are pronounced together and must not be separated. This last example, again, this word, probably you can figure this out, can't you? Apostello. Apostello. Can you think of a word that might mean? How about the word apostle? Apostle. Now, this word apostello means to send away. I send away. And that's what an apostle is, one who is sent away. I send away. Apostello. Now, the dividing the word into syllables, lambda, omega, the ultima, stel, sigma, tau, epsilon, lambda, the penult, but the sigma and the tau are not divided. St, st, stel, stel. And then the P and omicron are the antepenult. And again, the alpha here, back in the fourth syllable, stands alone. It can never have an accent, and so it has no name. If two consonants are pronounced together, do not separate those in syllabication. The word syllabication means to divide words into syllables. When there are two vowels side by side, they are either diphthongs or they are not diphthongs. Do you remember in the previous lesson when we were discussing diphthongs, we said that alpha iota is a diphthong, but iota alpha is not a diphthong. And epsilon iota is a diphthong, but iota and epsilon are not diphthongs, and so forth. If you take the letters of the diphthongs and reverse them, these two letters are no longer a diphthong. But two vowels side by side can be separated in the middle of a word, and a vowel in the middle of the word can stand alone as a syllable. If the two vowels form a diphthong, then by no means should they be separated. Never separate an alpha and an iota in that order. Never separate epsilon iota. They are diphthongs, and the rest of the diphthongs, you never separate them. Examples. Luo. You will be meeting this first luo. Lambda, upsilon, and then omega. Notice upsilon and omega do not form a diphthong. In the improper diphthongs previous, we saw that an omega and an upsilon will form a diphthong, but this is the reverse of that. Then the next word is luo. It's pronounced just like the first luo. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, with the omega on the end. Lu-o. And here you have a diphthong, the omicron upsilon, that's a diphthong, but the upsilon and omega, that is not a diphthong. Look at the word basileos. Basileos. Ba-si-le-os. You have epsilon and omega here together, but they do not make a diphthong. The next word, hagiadzo. The ha, notice the rough breathing mark over the alpha there. Ha, like in laughter. Ha, and then the gi, and a, and zo. In the middle of the word, you notice an iota and an alpha. This is not a diphthong. If the word were hagidzo with an alpha and iota, then that would be a diphthong. But notice the iota is first and the alpha is second. In the next word, agapao. Agapao. A and then ga. And pa, and the alpha and omega do not make a diphthong, so they are separated. So the omega is a syllable by itself in each one of these words that ends, luo, and luo, and agapao. The omega stands by itself. There is no consonant with it. The next word, r, ki, e, rus. R, ki, e, rus. The R with a smooth breathing mark, and then divide that into the next syllable, and the next syllable is ki. That's a ki and an iota, but notice the epsilon stands by itself, because iota and epsilon do not make a diphthong. And then rus, rus. Starting at the end of the word, you pick up the sigma, and then the diphthong, u, the epsilon, upsilon, and go on back and get the diphthong, consonant, the rho, and you have rus. Archierus, archierus, that means high priest, by the way. Archierus. The next word, afiemi. Afiemi. And notice that the iota and eta are not a diphthong, and they are separated. The eta stands alone there as a syllable by itself. Next word is di-kai-aw-su-ne. And notice the omicron in the middle is by itself in a syllable by itself. The chi is kappa alpha iota. That alpha iota is a diphthong. Di-kai-aw-su-ne. The word means righteousness. The last word then for an example, the-ra-pu-o. There, the-ra-pu-o. Therapeutics means I heal. I heal. Dividing words into syllables is very, very important. We're going to apply that rule now in our study of accenting. So you will be looking at lesson number 2 in Machen's textbook. Now there is only one thing that we need to touch on in paragraph 10, and that is concerning the diphthong omicron iota. We didn't mention before that when this diphthong is at the end of a word, then it is considered short as far as accenting is concerned. But if there is a sigma on the end of the word, then it will be considered long. The example that Machen gives here is the word anthropoi and anthropois. Anthropoi means men as a subject of a sentence, and anthropois is one of the many cases we have that we will be discussing just a little bit later. And it still means men, but in a different sense. Notice the omicron, iota, and sigma on this last word. And there, the omicron, iota, is a long syllable. Otherwise, the other diphthongs are always long. Now, we need to discuss some general rules of accenting. The acute accent can stand on any of the last three syllables of a word, either the ultima, the penult, or the antepenult. The circumflex can only be on the last two, the ultima or the penult, and the grave accent will only be on the last syllable of a word. The circumflex accent cannot stand on a short syllable. Now, we're going to take the same words that we had been dealing with before and discuss what this particular sentence means. The circumflex cannot stand on a short syllable. Looking at your words in your syllabus now. Again, the words menos, menos. If we were to put a circumflex accent on one of these syllables, it could be put either on the last syllable, the ultima, or on the epsilon iota. I just happen to know that alpha in this syllable is a long vowel. So we could put an accent, a circumflex accent on that, or if that alpha were short, then we could put a circumflex over the iota in the diphthong epsilon iota. The next word, idon, we could put a circumflex over the omega, but not the iota. The word acusantes. We could not put it over the epsilon because that is a short vowel. We would not put it over the son. We do not know whether that is long or short. We do know, however, that the ku, kappa, omicron, upsilon, is a long syllable because Omicron Upsilon is a diphthong. However, we are now back on the third syllable, and we cannot go back that far with the circumflex as we had in paragraph 1, or in number 1 of paragraph 11 here just above this. The next word we want to think about is synagoge, synagoge. And notice the last syllable, ge, the ultima, that could take a circumflex. The go, the second syllable or the penult, that could have a circumflex because it is a long vowel, long syllable. Anthropos, could you put a circumflex accent on the pos, on the ultima of this word? No, you could not because the omicron is a short vowel. But you could put it on throw because the omega is a long vowel. The next word, anableppo. We could put a circumflex on the po, on the ultima of this word, but not on the penult, ble, because the epsilon is always short. Apostello. We could put a circumflex on lo, the ultima here, but not on the stel, because again, the epsilon is always a short vowel. The next words, luo and luo, you could put a circumflex accent on the omega because it is a long syllable, and the second luo, by the way, the first luo means to loose or to destroy. The second luo means to wash. To wash. And people make fun of the way I say that word, so I will spell it W-A-S-H. To wash yourself. The circumflex accent cannot stand on a short syllable. I think we need go no further here. I think I have demonstrated to you in these few words that the circumflex cannot stand on an epsilon. It cannot stand on an omicron. It cannot stand on a short alpha. Let's see, what else did we have? I believe that's it. We've covered those few words. Repeat. I stress, the circumflex accent cannot stand on a short syllable. So, you would not use it on an epsilon or an omicron. Now, the third point here, if the ultima is long, the antipenult cannot have an accent on it at all. The antipenult, remember, is the third syllable back. The ultima is the first syllable in the word. If the ultima is long, if it has an omega, for instance, or an eta, like we have here in some of these words, several of these words, like in basileos, the omega sigma and the ultima is long. If the ultima is long, the accent cannot go back to the third syllable, the antipenult. So if the ultima is long, you know that the accent either has to be on the ultima or the penult. The second part of this rule is that if the ultima is long, the penult, if it is to be accented, it must have an acute accent. So let's look at a few of these words now and see what can be done here. Now that's all the time we have on this side of the tape. We will continue in the next lecture to talk about the various accents and rules of accenting.